Hello, listeners. Today's podcast discusses heavy topics such as cancer, suicide, and mental health awareness. The cast of Alicia Unleashed and guests would like to disclose they are not medical professionals or trained psychologists. If you are in need of help, text the word HOME to 741-741 to be connected to a crisis counselor free of charge. B-Side will have more resources listed in the show notes. If you suffer from PTSD or suicidal tendencies, Alicia Unleashed Cass and the Mob Bros advise you are listening at your own discretion.
Good morning, Gloucester. Time for Alicia Unleashed, talking about what's going on in these streets. Alicia, Alicia Unleashed, bitches.
Good morning, Gloucester. This is Alicia Unleashed, and this is episode 102. So we technically made it past 100. We're there. It's been a while, but we are at 102 now. So, yay, we made it. This is our third annual, folks. I don't think we have had a third annual with any other group, but here we are with the third annual podcast with the Movember guys. Hello. We have Ben, Jeff, and Tom with us. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for having
us. Yeah. Appreciate you having us.
Yeah, three turns of charm.
Yes, absolutely. So for those that, I mean, you've been on, this is your third time, third consecutive year in role, happening. So Tom, tell us about what Movember is all about.
Movember is the only organization to solely sponsor men's health issues. Their topics of concern are testicular cancer, prostate cancer, suicide prevention, and mental health awareness. Started in Australia probably 10 to 15 years ago with just a bunch of guys. One of their buddies was going through some treatments, and they were like, we need to do something. So it started really small, and then it's exponentially grown over the years. I've been involved with it for 11 years now, and they updated their program sponsor to 1,250. So they're out there all around the world and raising money and funds and awareness behind people that are just growing some terrible mustaches, some epic mustaches, and the women in their lives that support them. So we're just out here getting the word out and trying to stop men from dying too young.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you. So the last time we were together in a room and there were a couple of new babies, right? But I think in the past year since we spoke, someone's gotten married. So who's that and who do we want to speak? What's happening?
That's me. We got married, twice last year, a church wedding. And then you don't expose your friends to stuff like that. So we did another wedding celebration in the summer. But things are good. We bought a house, got married. Last year I was unable to join you because of a back injury, which is kind of like an every year and a half sort of thing. So, I just couldn't sit in a car. It was fine. It was what it was. But that was a big, big year. And then this year has obviously been what it's been.
Yeah, it definitely has. Definitely. Ben, what's been up with you?
Not a whole lot. Got a 18-month-old now. He's a little madman. I think trying to put my timelines together. I'm trying to remember if I would have started my new job, but I work at the College of the Holy Cross now. So work there, live on campus. Just trying to survive quarantine like everybody else. So lucky to be employed, sick of quarantine and worried about the state of the world, but overall one of the lucky ones. So it's good.
Excellent. Tom, what's going on?
Chasing around a 17-month-old, also a madman. He's talking more and more every day. He's good. His sister's back in school full-time. She goes to a private school. So they are back full-time with a whole bunch of precautions.
Oh, wow.
My wife and I are well. We're both gainfully employed. Everything at the fire department's good. They have a whole bunch of protocols in place that are protecting us the best that we can. And things are going well. We've had PPE from the start. So we're, like Ben, one of the fortunate ones. We're just doing the best we can day in and day out and keep moving forward.
Awesome.
Tom, you got secretly married last year too, didn't you? You pulled off a surprise wedding, didn't you? Was that last year?
September of last year. Yeah. We joined Lukey's baptism and come for the baptism, stay for the wedding. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah. We had a good party in the yard. Ben was our officiant. And Ben and his wife and the vendors were the only ones that knew. So everyone was, a couple of my buddies sniffed it out pretty much straight away because we didn't mess around with the decorations and the tent. And everyone was kind of like, this is pretty fancy baptism you got going on here. And then, Kim and Amelia showed up in white dresses and I was holding the baby and we got married and then we had a big party. So it was great.
Nice.
I think it was the American flag donut wall that probably gave it,
you know. That was my only request was that we had donuts instead of a cake and it worked out.
That's awesome. Well, obviously this year has been difficult for anyone, everything, and whatever. So and we know that you guys do events, and so how difficult was it to make plans, you know, to get donations or to celebrate this year? Kind of tell us a little bit about, have you had to get creative or have you pulled stuff off? Just, you know, what have you guys been doing?
Yeah, so we kind of all looked at each other when we started planning this year. And I would say the biggest shift has been like the tone of the way that we do things. So we're still out there on the internet posting about men's health, posting about, facts about prostate cancer, testicular cancer, suicide prevention, posting about the foundation and the good work they do. And don't get me wrong, we'll certainly take people's money for the foundation, but we all kind of looked at each other and said, like, it doesn't feel right this year to be as aggressive with the asking for donations as we've been in the past. So we really try and focus on awareness. And then I think the guys are trying to do their own thing in terms of, focusing on, I'm trying to just check in with as many guys as I can, just reaching out and I'm trying to check in with a different guy every day of the month, just to see how people are doing. I know that some other guys on our team have some friends that they had disconnected with that they're trying to reach out to. Some other guys are just trying to be a little bit more active. So we still got a really big team, still trying to raise some money. But I think that it's just the tone of the posts and things are a little bit different. We're doing an event at my gym this year, but it's really just, folks who go to my gym when we're kind of theming a workout around November, but we've traditionally done like the kettlebells for balls event. Not really doing that so much this year. Yep. And Bridget's rocking the shirt. So that's something we'll bring back at some point, but more so the tone of the outreach this year. Would you guys say that that's right?
Yeah, I think the goals are not monetarily focused. I think, like you said, we're all trying to reach out to somebody. I have a couple hard up cases of people that I think need a shoulder to lean on or somebody to kind of point them in the right direction. So I'm trying to focus on that. And like Ben said, check in with some guys you lost contact with and just see how everything's going. But I mean, we're still, like he said, we're still fundraising, but I think what did we raise last year? Like 34 grand. I think we set our sights at 10 grand this year, just because it doesn't really feel right to be pushing people for money. We can't really host events due to the restrictions right now. So I don't know. We'll see. We're trying to work some stuff out, some smaller stuff out with, like, we've done work with Riverwalk and stuff in the past. So I've been in touch with Chuck about some stuff, but it'll probably have to happen as like a wrap up thing, maybe early December instead. Like, he wanted to do like a movie thing, and Ben had suggested watching Gary Gulman's stand-up special, The Great Depression, where he mixes his stand-up and his story about depression. So hopefully something like that, maybe a kung fu movie, just so it's not a complete downer, But maybe something like that where we can get people outside watching a movie on like a projected screen away from each other, socially distanced, but still, you know, not pushing like raffles or anything like that. More awareness stuff.
Yeah, we definitely shifted gears because as the other guys have said, a lot of people are hurting for money. Some people have lost jobs, uncertainty of what's going to happen next. So a lot of our events in the past have been community-based, everyone in together, large crowds, and that just isn't our reality right now. So in terms of that, we just shifted it up and, you know, kind of came up with the mantra of just raising awareness and touching base with people that we haven't, you know, talked to in a while and trying to just keep in contact because that's, you know, that's what everything is about is making connections and, you know, bringing people back into the fold that, you know, may be disconnected for whatever, you know, they just feel swamped. They feel trapped. They feel, you know, the walls are closing in on them because they've been stuck inside for 6 months. So more just the reaching out, the camaraderie from a distance, unfortunately, but it's more, that's the soul of the mission as opposed to the monetary. I mean, we smashed it last year. It was crazy, but we also had events every weekend and we had a ton of support, and which we are so thankful for and appreciate. But this year it's just, we're getting back to the roots of raising awareness and, you know, bringing people back into the fold and making sure everyone's doing all right.
Great. So with all that said, do you find it easier to approach people this year on those subjects compared to previous years? You know, when you talk about, you know, suicide prevention and you're checking in with mental health and you're talking to folks and you're getting back to those grassroots, do you find that it is easier this year because of everyone's mental state and where we are in the world and everything that's happening? Have you found it easier?
I definitely think people are more receptive to it. I think, especially if there are people, you know, that, you know, haven't been in contact with people, I think they're probably, you know, feeling the brunt of it. Kind of like Ben said, or Tom said, the walls are closing in. Things are, you know, they're separated from friends, family, whoever. And it's easy, especially if you lose your job, like you fall into this routine of not doing anything. There's apathy. You're not, you know, say you live in an apartment or something. It's not like you're out working on your property or working on your house or have projects to do. It's just kind of like the same thing over and over again. And so I think even if the people themselves aren't receptive to it, I think everybody around knows that mental health is kind of spiraling downward right now, especially as we head into like more lockdowns, more restrictions. I don't think people are psyched about that, but
winter.
Yeah, winter, seasonal depression, all that stuff. For sure.
Yeah, I think that the one of the positives of the pandemic, and there aren't many, is that like Zoom meetings or phone calls or FaceTiming with like friends and family has become much more normalized. I think most people would agree with me that Zoom sucks, but it's better than nothing. Like, we have a group of friends that like gets together whenever we can regularly, and it's never like the same. You know, everybody's invited, but like you know, you pop in, you pop out. If you can make it, you go. If you can't make it, you don't, kind of thing. But that's not something we had ever done, you know, prior to this pandemic. So, you know, I FaceTime with my great grandmother every day. She gets to see her great grandson every day. So I think that's like one of the things that's somewhat positive, is that like, you know, things like this that have always been available to us are now like, it's not weird for us to jump on and talk to, you know, talk to a friend or talk to a family member, either on the phone or via Zoom. So that's one of the, if there is a positive, that's one.
Great. So, you know, in the past months, is there anything that has, you know, stood out to you personally that has brought more significance to the cause of Movember?
I think over the last year, I have a client at the gym, and she's come and told me about two of her best friends, their husbands, and they're not like estranged or anything. Their husbands killed themselves, kind of you know, they knew they were depressed, but I think just trying to get the word out for stuff like that. I mean, she sees it as almost like, hey, how could you leave your family like that? Like, I can't believe you'd be able to do something like that. And in my head, it's kind of like, obviously they thought they were better off without them, which is a tragic thing. And so trying to get the word out, I think, is right now even more important, just because people are so secluded. If you were going to reach out to a therapist, you're probably not doing it now. If you wanted to be in person with somebody talking weekly, it's not really a feasible option for a lot of people. And so just trying to get people hooked up with some of these resources that we have. And I think that we're getting more and more on the mental health thing. I know Mass General sends me a newsletter, you know, every month, and they had a big thing about mental health this year. So I think it's catching on, and people are taking notice, because you don't ever want somebody to think that that's the option or there's no way out. It's too much.
Right. And the Movember.com has so many resources. Unreal. I was scrolling through last night just to verify some information, and they have in person, they have texting options, they have 24-hour, they have support for people that are affected, they have spousal abuse, dating abuse. You know, the Trevor Project's information is on there. There's just so many resources that are out there. If you don't know where to turn, that would be a great place to start. It's just Movember.com. They have all of this stuff is laid out really succinctly with the numbers, what it offers, what you will get. There's links to the organizations that host those numbers and call centers and crisis lines. And if you don't want to talk to somebody, or you don't, you know, traveling to sit across from someone in real life isn't an option, or it's just not something you're comfortable with, you can text, you can call and talk on the phone, you can do a Zoom call. It's definitely, the information is out there, because what personally, I don't want anyone, like Jeff was saying, to feel that that's the only way out is to not be with us anymore and to leave so many questions unanswered, because the resources are available. They're super accessible. And hopefully that if someone's listening to this and is hurting or is looking for an outlet, that that's somewhere where they can turn to get more information and know that they're not alone.
Now, Tom, I think you posted yesterday for day 10, you posted a text crisis line. I think that someone could text in if they were in crisis to be reached out to. I think that was yesterday, or it might have been this morning. I can't remember.
It was yesterday. I was actually on time with my post.
Okay.
And it was something that I had found on the Movember website. It's if you text the word home, H-O-M-E, to 741-741, it will connect you with a crisis counselor. It's a text line. And that was news to me, because I didn't even know that was an option. And it's definitely something that, you know, brings awareness. I didn't know idea. So it's hosted by, I'm just pulling it up now. Yeah, it's in the US and Canada. You can text the 741-741. And if you have listeners in the UK and Ireland, there's other numbers there as well. It's just, you text it, the crisis text line, a live trained crisis counselor receives a text and responds, all from a secure online platform. Help you move from a hot moment to a cool moment. So it just seems like it's you know, a spot where if you're really in crisis, they can let you vent and get it off your chest, or however you want to proceed with them and go forth. I didn't want to waste anybody's time, so I didn't check it out, but it was a resource that I didn't even know was in existence, but it's one of many. I know someone on our team had also posted about a national suicide line.
The 988 thing, Tom.
Yeah, go with that, because I don't know much about it, Ben. I think it was you.
Yeah, it was just signed into office. So it was a bill that a bipartisan bill proposed by Seth Moulton, who's a congressman from Massachusetts, and I can't remember the GOP congressman that co-sponsored it. But it was signed into law by President Trump a couple months ago. And it's the number is 988, and it's going to be establishing 988 as a mental health crisis, like suicide prevention hotline. It is not functional yet, so if you're someone who's going through a crisis, just know that it's not functional yet, but the resource that Tom just mentioned is functional. So that's a really exciting thing. You know, Seth Moulton, I don't know what district he's from, but he's a veteran and has been kind of really upfront about his struggles with like PTSD and mental health and that sort of thing. So super awesome bipartisan resource. And it's one of only, you know, 911, 988. And I think that there was one other like three digit number that's, you know, people can use nationwide for support. So really awesome thing that's going to be coming online. I think I saw in the summer. So that's great.
Now, I do know that some insurances during the height of the pandemic were actually waiving co-payments for Zoom therapy or speaking with counselors and crisis counselors and such. I don't know if they're going to continue that throughout the rest of 2020 into 2021. As someone that is a caretaker who is also going through a lot of stuff with Mass General, and they don't, surprisingly, they don't have a caretaker support group, so I have to find my own. I do also know that there's some things too with, I mean, there's telehealth, there's telecommunal health with your primaries. So I have a question in regards to like going into the other aspects of Movember, the prostates, guys. Let's talk about balls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's one of not my favorite because they're, you know, but like how.
Careful.
I mean, I'm just saying they're not cute.
They change.
Sure. They get older and wrinklier. Fine. Okay. I've seen many. Hey, it's still our podcast. Call it is. So how do you guys get yourselves checked in a pandemic? Like, how do you put that? Do you put that on a Zoom chat? Like, how do you do that?
So there's a big push right now. I've seen the commercials on TV when it's on, about people not putting off treatment or visits because of the pandemic. I know at the beginning it was like, don't go to the hospital because you'll definitely get it and you'll never get out. They are now making a big push. Like if something is not right, don't wait because of the COVID-19 situation that's happening. They want people to get in. They want people to get seen. If you feel something's wrong, like if you're, you know, you have a lot of time on your hands with the pandemic and you're just hanging out and you're exploring yourself or you're in the shower and, you know, you give yourself a nice little rub down or whatever it is and give yourself what's considered a self-exam and you find anything altered or not what it should be, if you find a lump or a bump or something isn't right that wasn't there 6 months ago or 3 months ago at the beginning of quarantine, they want you to go in and get it checked out. And there are, I don't know if you can telehealth that. I think there might be some censorship or something. So
I'm sure you guys can get the angles, right? I mean, I've seen,
I'm out of the dating game, so I don't know anything about angles, but
Jeff's face is just priceless right now.
The rub down and the, I think we got into it. Tom really got into it there.
I mean, another plus of the pandemic, there is no excuse not to do some self-exploration and check your nuts. Yeah.
But the telehealth is all, I mean, it's, you've got to jump through hoops just to get on the video call with your doctor. You could probably show your doctor your balls if need be.
That's true.
Like when I had a telehealth thing in like May for like some poison ivy stuff, and that, she had me show her the patches. I assume the same would apply to my balls. I didn't show her my balls, but if I had needed to, I'm sure she would have been professional about it.
They're medical professionals. They see her.
Every year it's the cough again. So she gets it.
I mean, I'll tell you this. I had a rash from, I don't know, some kind of plant, and they could not figure out for the life of me what I was doing on my video chat. She's like, you're just going to need to come in. I'm like, just give me ointment. Like, I'm not trying to come in for anything. Just give me something, because what I've been trying to do, I don't have buckets of chlorine to just stick my hand in it, like the old camp counselor style. Like, I'm not trying to do that. But like, if there was something else, I would have been like, yeah, I'm coming in. I'm coming in. I'll wear full PPE. I'll wear double PPE. Like, let's go. But I was just curious about, like, if Movember kind of talked about, how do you do it in a pandemic? Like, how do you check yourself? Like, you know. Yeah,
Tom's point, like, is a good one. Like, you can still go in and get stuff checked out. You can, you know, there's protocols in place. And if you're going to a clinic or if you're going to, like, a regular doctor's office, you know, you're not going to be, for the most part, running into people who are, you know, the COVID-19 folks who are dealing with that or kind of have their own process going on. So point in fact, Tom has told his story about his balls on this podcast for 2 years.
Yes,
So I had a lump on my right testicle this year and scared the shit out of me. And I'm a Movember guy. So I knew that I needed to go get checked immediately. Got an ultrasound within like 24 hours. Turns out it was just a benign cyst and ended up going away on its own. But I know for a fact, if I wasn't involved with this organization and did this every year, that I've totally would have done the stupid guy thing of like, oh, it'll just go away kind of thing. And eventually it did, but it took a couple weeks and I would have been in like this sheer anxiety pool for weeks and weeks and weeks rather than just going and getting checked. So, you know, there's, you know, some, another testicle story.
We love them here. Unleashed. Did you name it?
No, but I did text Jeff and Tom immediately and said, hey boys, just got my this is this stuff works. Go get checked out, you know?
So in terms of prostate cancer, where all of us are not in the age range for that, but the American Cancer Society recommends that age 50 for men who are at average risk, 45 for men who are at high risk, which includes African-Americans and men who have first degree relatives, a father or brother diagnosed with prostate cancer at an early age, younger than 65, and then age 40 for men at even higher risk who have someone immediately in their family is for prostate cancer. So I know for the fire department, we get tested. We can start getting checked earlier and earlier because we're exposed to so many chemicals and everything else. But even when I was talking to my primary care, he was like, really? You're not in the high risk. And I said, well, this is what the fire department has decided for us, that we should start getting checked earlier and earlier. And it's just about early detection, because the earlier they find it, the earlier they can cure it, or at least attempt to cure it, or at least start your treatments to hopefully cure it or prevent it from getting worse and worse. So testicular cancer is one of the biggest ones for younger men. So I don't know if you feel something, you know, like Ben and I both did, it was like, oh, something's not right. We should probably go get this looked at. The ultrasound is only minorly awkward. They at least warm up the gel that they use, so it's not terrible. And it's not the worst experience in the world. So do it. If you're having a problem, go get checked out.
Listen, Tom, we get Tom, PAPs.
Yeah.
Hey, there's nothing more awkward than the PAP. So yeah, we feel you there.
We start those very young. Yes. Tom, how old were you when you found yours?
I would, I want to say probably 33, maybe 33, 34.
That's young.
Yeah. So it was just something that, you know, I was outside of the typical range, just being involved with Movember and knowing those stats of testicular cancer. But I still was like, well, something's not right. Called up my primary, got a ultrasound straight away, and turned out to be nothing, which is great. But at the same time, like Ben said, I would have just been sitting around anxiously wondering what was happening. So
yeah, especially, you know, you should go get checked out if there's anything abnormal going on with your body. But like, testicular cancer is so curable if found early. It's a 95% cure rate for testicular cancer if it's caught early. You know, that's, you know, they always say on the Movember site, like, that's that doesn't make the 5% of men who are dying from it feel better, but, you know, go in and get checked out. The anxiety or the awkwardness of getting your ultrasound is not nearly as bad as the crippling anxiety of wondering if there's something wrong with you.
That's true. So. Now, I was talking to someone earlier who loves you guys, by the way, who was going back to a little bit of the awareness and what you guys are doing and the awareness of what you guys have been doing for the last 4 years. But talking about the testament of kind of checking in with people, several people throughout this and, you know, kind of walking the walk of, you know, just people that you've disconnected with or people that have been disconnected and just seeing, hey, how's it going? But Danny Vidala says hello. And
Danielson.
Yes. And he mentioned how Jeff kind of walks the walk of Movember throughout the entire year and kind of reaches out to people and sees it on a day-to-day basis on, you know, just touching base with people, seeing how they're doing in a, you know, just in the sense of, you know, they might be struggling, you know, what can I do? Anything, you know, just reach out. So in certain things, do you see signs from people? Like if someone is having like a health issue, you're kind of just like, hey, you know, here's some resources if you need them. Because I know for me, like with my mom's health situations, you know, they've got a litany of doctors. But the thing is, my anxiety, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen next. What if this happens? What if this happens? There's no real kind of like anything. You don't really know what's going to happen with, at least with Movember, you know, that site stays up all year. You can at least touch base with guys. And I'm just wondering, because Danny did share a personal story and he was talking about how men just don't necessarily want to come out with, yeah, I'm struggling. I'm having a rough fucking time of it. Like, how do you guys kind of like approach it if you see them just slightly kind of like, what can I do to help?
I think it really depends on the person. I mean, I'd see both ends of it. I see the people who are open and willing to share. Like if you reach out, they want to tell you what's going on. And when you offer assistance, they'll take you up on it. Whereas I think we see a lot of the other end of things where you ask somebody how they're doing and they do the same thing. Hey, I'm good, man. I mean, I haven't seen you in 5 weeks, so I know you're not good, mm-hmm. but they're saying I'm good because they're not trying to burden you with it or whatever it is that's going on in their brain. You know, I think a lot of times that's what it is. I know when I was younger, that's what it was. Like, I'm not going to bother anybody else with that crap. Like, I'll handle it myself. I'll internalize it. And, you know, I think it takes, for some people, it takes time to realize that that's not the way. But if there's a way we can get through to people to tell them, like, doesn't make you less of a man to ask for help. You know, it doesn't make you less of a man to need to talk to somebody, or, you know, if something's upsetting you, to, you know, let your emotions flow a little bit. That's, it's not the worst thing, just internalizing everything and shutting down. It's not the answer. It's not going to help in your personal life, your work life, you know, any sort of emotional well-being you have. It'll catch up to you at some point. So I think no matter what, just offer your assistance to people. If they take you up on it, great. If they don't, like you said, Bridget, you can offer some resources like, hey man, none of my business, but you know, there's this stuff here. If you ever feel like you need anything, please reach out. Let me know.
It's definitely, I think the stigma is also getting a bit of a shift from, you know, just suck it up and move on, internalize, don't talk about it, to, you know, why would you hold it in anymore? You know what I mean? I was similar to Jeff. I didn't want to say anything to anybody a lot, you know, and just go through, and that was that. And then, you know, as it becomes more and more mainstream, you know, it's just letting people know that you're an ally, that you're there to support them. If they don't take you up on it, or they just brush you off or say, yeah, I'm good. Then, you know, just being persistent and being that constant for them, whether it's every week, every 2 weeks, every day, every third day, just a matter of, you know, like I check in with a buddy of mine with, you know, one of those stupid emojis where the guy's just thinking, you know, I send him three of those and he sends me three of those back, and we'll, you know, shoot a couple texts back and forth just to check in. And then we tell each other to go fuck ourselves. And then that's the end of the conversation. So it's all good.
typical guy conversation.
Yeah, but it's still something that we do. It's something that we do on a fairly regular basis, just to, you know, because
right.
you know, it's just checking in, but in our style, it's not. Right. So it works. It's just letting them know that they're not alone, and letting right. them know that it's all right. And you know, the big thing is, you know, vulnerability. It's a terrible feeling. You know, it's not something that we're, you know, accustomed to being. It's not a comfortable place to be. And, you know, it's like, all right, what's going to happen? Is someone going to find out? Is my buddy's going to know that I'm talking to somebody? Or, you know, what if I let this guy know? Is he going to bust my balls when I walk away? And just let him know that that's not where you're coming from. It's not the place that you want to take it. If you're showing genuine concern and someone's really having a hard time, you know, the goal for me anyways is that they at least see you as someone that they can turn to, whether or not they take you up on it is totally up to them. And that's really how I approach it. And it sounds like Jeff does as well.
Yeah. I think I would just throw out there, the Movember Conversations is a new tool that's on the Movember website. I think they launched it over the summer, and it's basically walks you through some scenarios. So I know I've been there wanting to help a friend out with something, but feeling like I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to take this conversation. So it kind of gives you a bunch of scenarios and you can select like what your response would be. And then the site gives you a little bit of feedback on like, hey, this was a good response because of this. So it's pretty useful tool, I think, for people who are, you know, want to be a support and want to be a resource. I'll say for everyone listening, none of us on this podcast are mental health professionals. So, but if you're just looking to be a resource, super helpful. The acronym they use for Movember is ALEC, you know, ALEC, ask, listen, encourage, and check in, you know, pretty easy to remember. So those are, you know, things that I try and remember as well. And you never know, like, even if a person isn't taking you up, quote unquote, taking you up, maybe just you reaching out is enough for them to get a little boost, get a little pep in their step, and that sort of thing. So you even if you feel like you tried to check in and it didn't go anywhere, you never know where people are at. You never know, you know, what something means to someone. And you never know if, you know, down the line they think to themselves like, oh, Jeff reached out to me that one time. Maybe he'd be someone I could check in with, you know, because I'm struggling. So there's literally no downside towards reaching out.
Right. So you guys have talked so much about what you are doing for other people and the amazing work that you guys continue to do year after year. But the question is, what are you doing for yourselves? And I understand that each one of you, you're into fitness. So if you guys each want to talk about, I mean, I'm sure that's been a huge, you know, thing for you. But if you want to talk a little bit about what's been helping you through this, and we have to remember that, you know, yes, you can help everybody else in the world, but you need to take care of you first. And so what have you guys been doing?
Yes. Well, Tom.
Yeah, I actually had a couple of sessions with a therapist in my car in a parking lot.
Fantastic.
A couple months ago. Yeah. So, you know, I just grabbed my headphones and went and sat in my car, and just to get out of the house and to, you know, reach out and see a different perspective of what I was, you know, running through and what I was experiencing. And, you know, it was a video. I knew going into it, it was a video, because the particular practitioner that I was working with was like, we need to do a video. I don't just do phone calls. And I was like, ah, I'm down with that. That's fine. You know, we chatted a couple times. You know, it was just nice to get a different perspective, because I have my buddies that I lean on. I have my wife, I have my support system. But it was nice to get a different perspective on just a couple of challenging things that, you know, I was coming up against over and over again. And it was kind of weird. He's like, are you in a parking lot right now? And I was like, I am. And he's like, yeah, I've actually seen that quite a bit nowadays. And I was like, well, you know, if I'm going to be totally open and honest, I can't be sitting in my house, you know, with a baby running around and, you know, kids around and everything else. So it was something simple. It it worked out to, you know, get me through the, you know, give me a couple different tasks or strategies on how to move forward and to just have a better perspective on that. And that was been my biggest thing, you know, in the past 6 months or so. I still try to stay active as much as I can. But, you know, chasing the little guy around is a workout enough for me. So watching him learn and grow has been pretty awesome.
Awesome. Jeff, Ben, what about you guys?
I subscribe to the Jeff Turek theory of staying in a routine. That has been really big for me in the quarantine. I think when it first started, I was kind of like, you know, never getting out of my pajamas and sleeping in and like doing the whole, like, it's quarantine thing. But,
and then it didn't end.
And it was like, all right, this isn't not waking up feeling productive. So I got back into basically like a work routine. So wake up, you know, make my bed, go to the gym. I still go to a 6 a.m. class at the gym, you know, once the gym reopens, that is. And then like put on my work attire. Like I'm not sitting there working in my sweatpants and shorts and that sort of thing. So it's staying in a routine has been really important in staying mentally healthy as possible during this. And then just taking the opportunity to, you know, check in, like allow people to like check in with me too. So we have a friend group that gets together regularly, and then, you know, people want to just chat during quarantine. It seems like people are hungering for connection. Sometimes when I do student counseling, not counseling, not mental health counseling, career counseling for a living, so I'm on Zoom all day. But sometimes it's like at the end of the day, like, oh, I don't want to jump on this call with these people, but 100% of the time when it's over, I'm happy that I did. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty similar. Like Ben said, I'm a routine guy. I like to do the same thing every day. I like to eat the same thing every day. I'm a very simple person in that manner, but I make sure to carve time out. You know, I'll wake up, make my bed, walk the dog, eat breakfast, and then I make sure I have like 90 minutes, 2 hours to do whatever it is I want to do that day. I don't work until noon, so I work like noon to close at the gym, and so, you know, before that is my time. So if there's a hobby I want to work on, or if I have projects here at home, I'll feel better getting stuff done. And then without my wife's knowledge, last November I bought like an $8,000 gym setup, so we didn't really lack for working out and other such things that we're used to doing during quarantine. And so I've kind of kept that up here at home. I think it's good for me to be outside working out, not at the gym as long as I was before. So my schedule changed. I don't, you know, I was doing commuting back and forth twice a day. And so that's, I think that's really helped too. I gained an hour of my day basically. But I keep an open line of communication with my wife and with these guys. You know, I messaged them at the beginning of November to say that I was stressed out. I had too much stuff going on. I was behind on everything I had to get done here. You know, these guys check in and offer their assistance, but there's no shame in my game when it comes to, you know, if my plate's too full, I'm going to back off what I can, because I can't do anything well if I'm doing too much.
I find when you know a CrossFit coach, there's never a time that you cannot work out.
True.
Right? Right? Whether it's raining outside, don't worry. We'll give you a workout to do inside and so forth. So, so, you know, for each one of you, why do you keep coming back year after year to raise awareness? What does this mean for each one of you?
I think it started for me as kind of like a novelty type thing. Cause before I got on the fire department, I always had a beard. So when I first learned about this, I was like, wait, I actually have to shave my whole face and start fresh. Like, I don't know how this works. So the shock value of people. Now I just keep a mustache year round just cause I look too silly without one. So the fact that something changes for me when I'm pretty good, I'm in a pretty good spot most of the time. I'm pretty happy dude. Just to change it up and start the conversation again of, dude, what the hell happened to you? What, you know, what are you doing? And having it go from there. And just, you know, if you just make that one connection, if you make that one post or you make that one, you know, comment to somebody or that one phone call, that one quick text to just either redirect their day, redirect their week, redirect their outlook. As long as you can raise awareness for just one person, I think that's why I keep coming back, is the potential of the impact from, you know, something as silly as me shaving my mustache and posting relentlessly on social media, to just get other people to, you know, people kind of look forward to it nowadays. They're like, oh, I'm so, you know, December 2nd, they'll donate and be like, I'm so sorry, I'm late. And I'm like, it's totally fine. But it's just a matter of, it's something that's now ingrained in, you know, my friend group, my personal life, my work life. It's just something that, I look forward to every year, and then try to continue on as best I can throughout the year to attempt to make that impact that can, you know, change the direction of someone's day or career or path or whatever you want to look at. That's what I look forward to.
I'll say, so for me, three things popped into my head. The first is the opportunity to like lead this team with two of my best friends every year is, you know, one of the best things ever. You know, Jeff, Tom, and I were pretty tight before we did Movember together, but I think we've become even better friends as a result of all this. So that's one of my favorite things about it. I think every single year something happens that something different happens every year that makes you kind of realize the impact that the team has and that the organization has. And, you know, I think I told a story a couple of years ago, like we had a kid, Jack, who was a teen in the Y program that we were all involved in, who one year kind of started his own team and took it upon himself to help a bunch of guys that he knew get health insurance and like a couple of things like that. I ended up having a conversation one year with a woman at my gym whose brother had committed suicide, unfortunately. So like there's something different that happens every year. Our team grows a little bit every year. Like my dad's on the team, you know, has been on the team for a couple of years. So we got like, November's just this monster now. And it's like a really awesome monster. And the last thing I'll say is it just kind of reaffirms my faith in humanity every year. You know, we're coming up on what I think was probably universally regarded as the worst year of all time, with the pandemic. You know, it seems like all of my favorite celebrities are dying this year. You know, the effing election, like all these horrible, stressful things are happening. And then Movember comes along and it's like this awesome, like, it doesn't matter like who you vote for, you know, people just come out and support, in our case, men's health. Like, you know, it can be whatever your passion is or whatever you're interested in. For us, it just ended up being Movember, but doing something like this, I would recommend everybody do. And it just reaffirms your faith in humanity. You know, people are fundamentally good. And I this reaffirms that for me every year.
Awesome. And I'd probably piggyback off both of those. I mean, I love doing this with these guys every year. Raising awareness. I lost a parent to suicide. And so it hits home for me thinking if you can get one person to realize, hey, like that's not the answer, then we've done enough. You know, we can always do a little more, but like that would be enough. And being able to raise money for these health initiatives that are helping with that sort of stuff around the world, prostate cancer and testicular cancer I think it's a big deal. Like they said, I got people every year that want to donate, that ask me, email me, like, hey, I haven't seen your links. Hey, are you doing this event? Like the bar manager from Riverwalk, Chuck, will reach out. Hey, what do you want to do for Movember this year? Like he's all into it. He's ready to help. I think fostering a sense of community through something like this is a great thing to see people come together. I've met people through what we do here that I wouldn't have met otherwise. you know, we had people up one year that came and showered at my mom's house in Newburyport that I'd never met before, you know, because they all came up for an event earlier in the day. They stayed for an event later in the day. And we had a few beers and got to know each other. It was a great thing. I think last year we wrapped up at my house here with, you know, some people I don't get to see and connect with all that often, who were, you know, part of the initiative or there to support the initiative. And I think that's pretty great, because the more people we can touch and the more people that get involved, the more awareness we're going to raise. I mean, I see the people, like Ben said, our buddy Jack, who started his own team, and these guys are raising more and more money, more and more awareness. And it's not that we need to pass the baton. We don't need to go anywhere, but it's nice to see everybody coming together and starting to grow their base of support and get the word out to their new friend groups and their families and all that stuff.
So, Bridget, do you have anything else that you would like to add or ask? Or
no, I think we asked pretty good questions. I mean, this year is kind of a little different because, you know, there's not that many events, but I think it was just as important to have the guys on this year.
Even more important.
Absolutely, because, you know, I've been witnessing, even with my own struggles, being, even though I've worked since day one of the shutdown, I have struggled significantly with frustrations, with people being frustrated and hostile and violent towards me. And I'm like, I am just a medical worker. I don't know why you're mad. I'm like, I am just doing everything I can to not catch this virus and bring it home. You know, my gym shut down and I started going to an online gym, which I fell in love with. I even have a spare room that has like twinkle lights. I have a trampoline. I have barbells. I have all the shit. I'm literally getting a $350 trampoline on Saturday. I'm not even kidding. Like, at one point I did have a breaking point where I was doing fine, and then someone just looked at me wrong and I snapped. Like, I literally just broke down. And I, you know, we focus a lot on females and when they get sad and they get depressed, but we don't talk about men. We don't talk about men because, you know, society makes it so that you just keep it, you know, suck it up, buttercup. And because I know Tom, and because I know Jeff, and I know Ben from when they were younger, and I know them from all different stages, all at the same time, to see them in this phase right now in their lives, you know, and see how well you guys have grown into this and just doing this amazing work and making this awareness, it's amazing to me that you guys are willing, that you guys are just in this level of awesomeness to like help out. I mean, Jeff, I mean, you know, I've known you since you were a little one, and you were scary. Like, we can all admit this now. you scared me.
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't call you a mercenary for nothing. but the fact is that, you know, there's so many people that are just not willing to be open. And it's just, I don't think there's a need for that. And I think having you guys, I mean, you guys are fitness guys, you're muscular men, to be like, yo, it's okay. Like, it's cool. It's fine. You're not, ain't nothing going to take away your masculinity from saying you're not okay. Like, that shit's getting you down. Like, I think that is 1000% important. And I think what you guys constantly do, the research that you do, especially when you come on here, you guys come with the facts, you come with the websites. I appreciate it. Like, Tom did research and homework last night, Ben did homework, like, and Jeff came with that mustache. Look at that thing. That thing is, woo, look at you guys.
The first year I cheated. I did not start fresh. I got like an extra week of growth here.
Hey, we're in quarantine. It's fine, whatever. But I don't think you guys really fully understand how much I appreciate you guys coming on every year. I was talking with Danny earlier and they're going on. Wow. So is this, I'm like, yep, it's their third year. And I'm like, he said, well, it's very important that, you know, they talk about awareness. I'm like, don't I know it? This is why I do this. This is why I ask you guys to come back every year, because a lot of times when Alicia and I would, when we first started the podcast, all we'd do is just bitch because, you know, that's what females do. But to get you guys to come on and talk about this stuff, I think it's important because if it can reach any one of our listeners to just, you know, just even go to click on that website to go check something out, you know, hopefully this reaches somebody that might be struggling or have those anxieties that they don't want to tell their significant other that they're going through. Or if it helps a wife or a girlfriend or a mom kind of connect with their son a little bit more on like, hey, is everything okay? You know, I just feel like that sometimes it just needs to be said. I mean, I've reached out to several people throughout quarantine. I'm like, you okay? Even though I'm not okay, but are you okay? I'll see what I can do. But I honestly appreciate you guys. I appreciate everything you're doing, especially in this. And yeah, you know, if you guys do Riverwalk, I'll sit like 20 feet away from everybody with my lawn chair. I'm fine. I miss the bars. Trust me. I'll go watch Beverly Hills Ninja or something. I don't care. Let's do this.
It'll all be distant.
We'll keep you posted when and if we get creative. But we also, I mean, just I'm sure I can't speak for the other guys, but I'm sure I will anyways. That you know, your unwavering support has been great. We would have loved to have hosted you here this year, but this wasn't the case. So we adapted and overcame, and we are using this platform to be able to do it. And we want to thank you guys for reaching out to have us back on. 102 is a good episode for you guys to have us back for. So we look forward to it, and it's a lot of fun. And you guys ask some really great questions and help us get our message out that much better to a broader audience that, you know, us three knuckleheads probably wouldn't get a chance to talk with. So we appreciate that support as always.
Very much. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you, because I feel that even this year, and not that any other year is less important, however, 2020 has been an incredible, you know, incredibly important year to talk about these types of topics, especially where we went tonight with this. And from the bottom of my heart, with personal experience this year, you know, we thank you guys, you know, for coming on. And, you know, just as a disclaimer, like Ben has said, we're not mental health professionals. We're just here, you know, everyone is just here to, you know, give our support, give resources, and we will post resources when we post this podcast for folks to be able to, you know, click on, reach out and whatnot. So, again, thank you guys so much. It's, you know, third year, actually anything after two is a tradition. So this is the third. So this is officially our tradition. So next year will be the fourth, right? But we want to thank you guys so much for, you know, coming on. It was a different feel, but it makes it even more important this year. So just want to thank you guys so much from the bottom of our hearts.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys. Right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And this is Alicia Unleashed episode 102. We're out. Peace.